Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. 15 minutes past 11 o'clock. Any American adult can tell you where they were on 9/11, September 11th, 2001. However, a whole new generation of Americans don't have that memory. To them, the horrific events are simply history. In time for the 20th anniversary, which is this year, believe it or not, YA novelist Alan Gratz delivers a take on history and hope, revenge and fear, and the stunning links between the past and present. His new book is Ground Zero, a novel of 9/11. Alan is the New York Times bestselling author of several books for young readers, including Allies, Grenade, and Project 1065, as well as Code of Honor. Again, the new book is Ground Zero, and we welcome Alan Gratz to the roundtable this morning. Alan, thank you very much for being with us. A pleasure to have you on the program.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So what brought you to the subject of wanting to tell this story for young adults about what happened on 9/11?
You know, it's a little bit about what you talked about there in the intro, that so many young people don't have a connection to 9/11. Look, my daughter is 18 years old. She was born in 2002. She's a freshman in college. She was born the year after 9/11. So if you are an elementary school student, a middle school student, a high school student even, you were not alive for 9/11. And many kids who were young even on 9/11, who are young adults now, don't really remember that day the way that we do as adults. And I've written about a lot of difficult topics before. You listed some of those titles. I've written about refugees, about war, about terrorism, and the Holocaust. And I've had a lot of kids write to me and say, when are you going to write a book about 9/11? And, you know, I kind of put it off because I still felt a lot of pain and anger from that day, even 20 years later. But I think that that's a big reason that so many kids want to know more about 9/11 is that many of us adults don't end up talking about it for that very reason.
So the book takes us on a takes us to obviously what happened on September 11, 2001, in a New York City perspective. And then September 11th, 2020 in Afghanistan. So give us a sense of why the global perspective, but also the time perspective.
Sure. So the first story, I wanted to definitely tell a story of what happened in the Twin Towers that day. There were a lot of other things, of course, that happened. The Flight 93 coming down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, the attack on the Pentagon. But to focus the story, I wanted to tell a story of a kid, my 9-year-old kid named Brandon, who is in the North Tower of the World Trade Center in an elevator when the first plane hits and he has to survive. And I knew that I could write a book that was just about that day, about September 11th, 2001, and accomplish most of my goal, and that was to let kids know what happened that day for them to see it firsthand. But I also knew that that wouldn't be giving them the perspective of what we know 20 years later. You know, the message at the end of September 11, 2001 was Muslim terrorists are coming to kill us. And that day they were. But that's not been the story of the 20 years since, and it also doesn't give kids the perspective on how the United States and the world have both changed because of 9/11. So to get at that perspective, I tell the story of 11-year-old Reshmina, who is an Afghan girl who finds her world turned upside down, goes through her own version of 9/11 when her village becomes a battleground between the United States and the Taliban. I felt like I couldn't write a book about 9/11 without touching on, in this case, spending half the book on, the war in Afghanistan. The war in Afghanistan started the month after 9/11 because of 9/11, and it is still going on. As you said in your intro, we're about to hit the 20-year anniversary of 9/11, incredibly. But this year will also mark the 20-year anniversary of the war in Afghanistan. It is now officially the longest war in U.S. history. And unless something changes by October, we hit a 20-year mark this year.
One of the things that you talk about is that 9/11 is also the story of people coming together to help one another in a time of crisis. I'm hoping you'll talk about that and how you write about it in the book from both of these perspectives, and then also bring us to today where we're also in crisis, but maybe we don't have that same sense of us all coming together.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that struck a lot of us watching the events of that day when we were watching it live on September 11th, 2001, was the way that New Yorkers in particular, because those were the stories that we were seeing the most, but New Yorkers coming together to help each other out. You know, your listeners are much more familiar with New York City than a lot of the rest of the country. I was in Knoxville, Tennessee, as an eighth grade English teacher when it happened. And so we were watching really from the outside. But of course, as Americans, and we always, you know, had these stories about New York City being a tough city and New Yorkers being tough, rugged individuals. But then what we saw that day and in the days that followed were New Yorkers coming together. We saw that day people helping each other out. But of course, in the days and weeks that followed, as Ground Zero, as the Twin Towers became Ground Zero and the rescue efforts were underway, we saw people pulling together. And I think that was an incredible thing to see. Unfortunately, at the same time, we as a nation had a sort of a government policy of, if you're not with us, you're against us. And instead of bringing everybody together under one umbrella and working together, I feel like while we were seeing on the ground level, on the individual level, people coming together, what we were seeing on an international level was a lot of separation. And as you point out, we're reaping the consequences of that today as we see the United States is pulled away from other countries. And hopefully we're going to rebuild those alliances and rebuild those connections. But the more we isolate ourselves, I think the worse off we are. And one of the things I show in the Afghanistan side of things is just how isolated the United States is in our policy in Afghanistan. You know, we went in to Afghanistan as a coalition of allied forces. And over the years, that coalition has really drained away until it's just about the United States left there doing the fighting.
When you're writing for young adults, as you are in this case, how much do you have to make that connection and make that point? Meaning, how subtle can it be, or can it be pretty subtle? And you have faith that kids will figure it out.
Yeah, you know, I think we don't give young readers a lot of credit, and they are really good at picking up on subtle things and seeing the nuances in things. At the same time, I don't shy away from telling things the way they are, from showing the hard things. There were a lot of really awful things to be seen in the Twin Towers that day, and I show kids those things. There are a lot of things that are awful about the war in Afghanistan, and I show kids those things. The only concession I make really to writing for kids that I would perhaps do different in writing for adults is I will tell you what happened, but I don't have to go into gory or visceral detail about it. So that allows a young reader who is a more mature reader to fill in the blanks. And it allows a younger reader who is perhaps not ready for that to understand that a bad thing happened, but not necessarily see it in all that graphic detail. But kids are really savvy readers. And I think the mistake you can make writing for young readers is to treat them like kids, is to not respect their intelligence. They're very smart. They know a lot more about 9/11 and about the world than we give them credit for. They absorb things. They pick things up. And so what I want to do is fill in those blanks for them.
In writing the story of Brandon, what kind of research do you do? I mean, I'll obviously ask you about the research of both aspects sure. of the story, but going back to 2001 of telling Brandon's story and of being in that elevator, of what of how you research and get that right.
Sure. You know, for both of these stories, I had to do a lot of research. You would think that the 9/11 one, having been an adult in the United States, that I would know enough about it. But I had to do a lot of research still. I had schematics of the World Trade Center buildings, the Twin Towers. I needed to know where all the stairwells were. I needed to know what the businesses were on each of the floors that my character traverses. I needed to know the elevators. There were 99 elevators in each of the Twin Towers, and those play a big part in my story. There was a mall underneath the Twin Towers, and that plays a part in the story. I needed to know what shops were in there. I mean, it's little details like that that if I were to get those wrong, look, the Twin Towers, the whole World Trade Center, was a huge part of many, many people's lives. It was a part of the geography of their lives. And if I were to get any of those parts wrong, it would immediately pull someone out of that story. So there was a lot of research I had to do just about the technical issues of where my character was. And then, of course, to find out everything that happened inside those buildings on September 11, 2001, I went back to survivor stories, to firsthand accounts of what people saw and experienced in those buildings. And then for Reshmina, I had to have a whole shift and learn a lot about the way life is for people in Afghanistan today during, you know, in the middle of a war. And one of the books I've written before is a book called Refugee. And through it, I've done a lot of work for UNICEF, helping them raise money and raise awareness for what they do. And because of that connection, I was able to go to the folks at UNICEF and say, can you tell me about what you're doing in Afghanistan right now? And they said, we can do better than that. We'll put you on a Zoom call with them. And so I spoke to the UNICEF team on the ground in Afghanistan about what they were doing and about what life is like for children in Afghanistan. As a part of my research, I obviously did a lot more than that, but that was one of the best insights that I got.
I assume, obviously, as we mentioned, the anniversary is coming up, and you'll be doing much more on this, and the book is just out, so you're just starting the virtual tour. But what has it been like to talk to kids about this subject?
Yeah, talking to kids about 9/11 is surprising. It's surprising the things that they do know, and it's surprising the things that they don't know. I think that for most of them, they don't know a lot of the what happened inside the towers. They know the basic parts, the planes, the towers, but they know that it was a big thing. But they also don't understand the impact, the consequences of it. I think they also don't understand why so many adults are reluctant to talk about it. And I think that hopefully I'm by showing them just what an enormous event this was. That they'll understand a little bit about why it's still so hard for us to talk about and deal with 20 years later. It seems like 20 years on, we would be able to move on from it. But as I was writing this book, this is perhaps the most emotionally difficult book I ever wrote. I thought, oh, it's been 20 years. I can tackle this now. I can do this. But I found all that pain and anger coming back as soon as I started reading about it and researching it all over again.
Do you worry about it being too emotional for the readers?
You know, I do think that it is an emotional book for kids to read, but I think because young readers are often able to read about something that has a very serious emotional impact to it, the Holocaust, terrorism, that sort of thing. But also, middle schoolers in particular are able to sort of flip a switch. One minute they can be super serious, and the next minute they can be silly and running around and goofing off. And that's fine. It's what it means to be a middle schooler. And I remember when I was an eighth grade English teacher the days after 9/11, I was devastated, as were all the other adults at my school. And I came into my classroom and I said, let's do some writing about this. I was an English teacher. I said, let's write about our feelings and thoughts about what we just watched on television. And while everybody was quietly writing, one kid had been loading up a video on his laptop, and it started playing, and it was some song, and he gets up and starts dancing to it, just yeah. right in the middle of this very serious day, like the day after 9/11, when I didn't think I'd be laughing or singing or dancing or
Alan,
doing anything fun ever again.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. I just want to tell people it's Alan Gratz, and the book is Ground Zero.